I want a church girl who go to church
and read her Bible.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome to Church Chat with Rebecca and Jessica.
Amen. We're like those girls that do the, the YouTube channel that they always make fun of.
I know who you're, the blonde girls.
Yeah.
They're always wearing white and they're talking about how to be like a very biblical wife or whatever. Like there's a term they use, right?
It's how to, they have videos like how to wear makeup in a God-honoring way.
That's right. How to suck that dick in a God-honoring way.
Yeah, but it just became a meme format. It was like how to give head in a God-honoring way.
Shout out to Mary Lynch, our top listener. Actually, I should say hi to Colin and Sabrina because I know they listen to
real
the podcast. They are.
Yeah.
I had dinner with them the other night. It was really nice. They let Chris's mom come. So Chris's mom has been in town for Thanksgiving, but Colin was here for Thanksgiving also. And I was like, well, I want to see Colin because he's fine. But I'm hanging out with Chris's mom. And I was like, what if we brought Chris's mom, who was in the military for years. She's in the army. And so
they got to talk about
armed forces stuff.
Yeah.
They did the secret handshake, which involved launching a missile into just some country. I don't know. It said they didn't matter or whatever. So,
they like don't matter.
Yeah. So it was fun. But I just want to say hi to them. And thanks for listening.
Yeah. No, that's definitely a thing. Anytime my dad sees someone that's got like an army hat on or whatever, he'll be like, what years were you in? And they'll just like jump into it. They just go. But he can talk like that to any human being. It's almost
about anything.
About anything. He will become someone's best friend instantly.
Well, no wonder he and I get along so well.
Yeah, you guys are soulmates, honestly.
That's why we're texting all the time.
All the time you guys be texting.
He keeps sending me pictures, like from when we were at the lake, he took pictures of the dinner I made and it just says thinking of you. All the time.
But my mom unironically does that when she makes her chicken. She'll send you a picture.
I send her a picture though too. I was like, yeah, hey, thinking of you.
Hey, Mary.
Just because she liked it. I thought that was nice. I need to tell your
mom. And then she invited you to Christmas.
I know. She wants me to cook, I think, is the secret, because she knows you can't. And so she wants me to come
in. No, she just asked if you were going to be in Michigan. And I was like, I think so. And she was like, well, let her know she's invited to everything.
I need to message her and let her know that I'm going to be, like, I'll be in Ann Arbor to see my family for a couple days. And I'm going to work out of the office and stuff. But then Christmas Eve.
Are you going to work out of the office? It's shut down. Or are you going to come in before?
I'm coming before, yeah. I fly in on the 19th.
Okay.
So I'm going to work for a couple days there. Alex and I are going to a hockey game. But then on Christmas Eve, I'm doing dinner with my family, wherever that is. But then Chris gets in at 12:30 in the morning on Christmas Day. So
gross.
I have to drive down to Columbus and pick them up.
Gross.
I know. I don't like it.
Gross. Yeah, I don't fly into Michigan until December 22nd.
Ooh. But you're flying into Grand Rapids, right?
Yeah.
Dumb.
It's a red eye flight.
That's what Chris is doing too.
With a connection.
Hey, ooh, that's gonna suck.
Yeah. Can't wait for that. It was the only flight that was less than $800.
Oh, I know, it's been ridiculous. Ooh. Chris and I are going to New Orleans in January, and it was the same thing as like there were no direct flights. Everything was expensive. It finally dropped, and I was like, oh, cool. With
it's
my
horrible.
Companion pass, it's only going to be, you know, $600 or whatever. But
yeah,
it was still more. And on our flight back, we have two where we have to get off the plane twice to get on a different plane because there's no apparent direct path from San Francisco to New Orleans.
Yeah, I thought about taking the Amtrak, honestly, for Christmas. If my parents lived like along a destination that they would not have to drive to pick me up.
Tell them to move
to
Kalamazoo.
I would have just done that. Right. They would have had to drive to Kalamazoo. Which would be fine, except they're planning on being up north for the holidays. So that's way more annoying because that's like a four-hour drive to Kalamazoo.
A four-hour drive. Wait, so you're flying into Grand Rapids and then going up north, or where are you going?
Yeah, we're going up north.
Okay.
We're doing Christmas, I think, with the Chicago family and then going up north after that. And then my brother and the kids are going to come up, and his wife are going to come up for a couple days to hang out up north. So that'll be fun.
Is David coming?
He is not. He's going to be in Phoenix with his family. So.
That's weird. That's a weird choice for your first engaged Christmas. But, you know, if that's your relationship, that's fine. That's okay.
It just, it worked out that way.
Okay, sure.
We could have, like, split it and done one family and then the other, but it just, the flights were already so expensive.
Okay,
we were like,
sure,
we're not.
Whatever. I'm just, you know, that's, listen, if it works for you.
We're going to do New Year's as our Christmas, because we're gonna host a New Year's party. You're invited, obviously, and we're gonna because his birthday is also New Year's Eve, so we're gonna do New Year's Eve party / his birthday party / our Christmas. It's gonna be great.
I suspect I will be here in San Francisco because I fly back on the 30th.
Is that in California?
That is, yeah. Specifically, okay. I know, you know, you may be thinking San Francisco, Iowa. It's actually San Francisco, California.
Okay.
So it's a little warmer.
Yep.
At that time,
I think there's actually a San Francisco, Colorado.
Is there?
Because sometimes when I go on Zillow, it auto-fills to San Francisco, Colorado.
It's like, don't try to leave where you are. You won't like it as much. You might. Did you guys decide when you're moving here yet?
No.
Probably a couple weeks.
I sent him an invite for a conversation because we keep saying, like, we
need
to sit
down.
You threw
some time on the calendar.
And list out, like, what are our possible options for the next, like, 3 years. And then we're going to make pros and cons lists, and we're going to discuss it. But we just haven't done it. So I finally, this morning, sent him an Apple invite that was, like, Sunday 6 p.m.
So the joke I made when you told me about the pros and cons list, and I'll share it here for everyone else, is that I can't wait to be in both the pros and con lists for moving to San Francisco.
Somehow Jess is both. No, the plan is still to move to San Francisco. We just don't know when. I am beginning to think I may want to do one more round of holidays here just because my parents are going to move here next summer. And then we'll have like another round of holidays and then we can move in the winter of 2024. But then you're talking about like moving when we're trying to get married, which is going to be a lot. So
and you're,
this
then you're
is more information than the listeners married. Want. But
no, they miss these details of our lives. Remember when you met Jen for the first time or like my mom and they're like, I just feel like I know you so well. And it's because they listen to the podcast.
Yeah, that makes me really uncomfortable.
like don't reveal so much of your
intimate
inner self here.
Details about my life. Listen. Yeah, no, we're going to try to figure out what we're doing, but we're going to try to do it in a very adult way because I think we both have
God-respecting
different priorities.
Way.
In a God-honoring way. No, I just think we have different priorities, and I want to make sure that we both feel heard, and so we're going to list all of our options and go over them together and figure out what we want to do. So,
well, let me know if you need a note taker for that meeting. I'm happy to hop in and mediate.
You're a scribe.
Yeah, yep. I'm completely unbiased in this choice, so...
For sure.
Don't worry about that.
Yep. Well, the other pro of waiting longer is it would mean we'd be more likely to be able to afford to buy something there, which would make everything easier because, like, part of my reservations is that, like, we'd love to have a little cabin in Michigan, but I don't want to be paying rent on a place that we're not at for, like, 4 months out of the year.
But if you buy, then you can Airbnb it.
Or just you're paying the mortgage, but like you're not actually losing that money. You're just paying your.
That's true. Yeah, you're paying down your mortgage. Okay. I can see that.
So that's part of it.
I guess I would accept that. And if you bought a house here, you'd be here longer probably, which is great.
At least 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Longer. Well, Chris just got their scooter license, so you guys can get scooter licenses too, and then we'll just ride around.
Not getting a scooter.
We're just going to ride around together on scooters.
Absolutely not getting a scooter.
Okay, well, enjoy the traffic then.
I'll get an e-bike. I don't want a scooter. They're so expensive, and you've spent so much money fixing yours and getting
it. No, that's all under insurance. I didn't pay for any of that.
Yeah, but I just finished paying off a car. I'm not buying another vehicle.
Well, you can sell that car.
No. What?
You
no.
Sell David's car then.
Why would I sell it? It's paid off.
I'm trying to help you here, and all I'm hearing is roadblock after roadblock.
You're trying to make me into you.
No.
I love my car.
No
I'm not
one
selling
can be
it.
Me. I'm a cautionary tale.
My Zillow filter has must-have garage and parking.
Garage. Included.
That is more important to me than laundry, which I may live to regret, but we'll see.
No, I've got these little laundry machines. They're fine. Anyway, Fine. Is there a San Francisco, Colorado? Is that a real place?
Yes. Yes. Francisco, Colorado is a small town in Castilla County.
Small town.
Here's the Wikipedia page. Is one of the earliest settlements in the San Luis Valley. 9 miles southeast of San Luis, it was settled by Hispanic settlers along San Francisco Creek. There's zero information about the population of it. So,
sounds like a really big city happening.
Yeah. I think it's near the Great Sand Dunes National Park. Let's see.
Great Sand Dunes.
It's on MapQuest, but not
what?
Google Maps. I didn't even know MapQuest existed, but
it doesn't still exist.
Yes, it does. MapQuest.com. I'm on
okay,
right now.
But who is using it?
I am right now.
On purpose?
Boom. Get fucked. Remember when you used to be like, I gotta go somewhere. Let me print the MapQuest directions.
No, I would simply not go places. What? I didn't have a printer.
Oh. Yeah, wow. It's real. It's way down by the, what is that? New Mexico.
By the New Mexico border. It's out in the country. Past the city limit sign.
Yep.
Is there a honky tonk?
There's a honky tonk.
Yeah.
Past the county line. Yeah. I'm glad we were on the same wavelength there. Out of the country, past the city limit sign. That song is on my playlist of acceptable country music songs.
It's so stupid. How can it not be? Hayden and I did that once just because I was just being dumb and playing that E blues riff, because that's all it is bum.
Yeah.
So I was just playing that and Hayden started singing it, and then we actually played it at a show. It was so stupid, but it was so funny. We could do that one. That one's so easy. All you'd have to do is walk the bass line.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, take that bass line for a walkie.
Boot, scoot, and boogie. All right. Anyway. Well, how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was actually really good. I went to work Wednesday. Wednesday night.
Okay.
What did I do Wednesday night? I think I didn't do anything Wednesday night. I don't honestly remember. But Thursday, I went over to Chris's. I slept way in. Went to Chris's.
Nice.
And I was on rolls. Chris likes to cook all of Thanksgiving food by themselves, but that's fine. You know, I don't need
that's
to
a
cook
lot of work
all the time. It is, but this is the second year they've done that.
Okay.
This is our third Thanksgiving together, but the second one they did that. The first one they went to Ohio. Anyway, they did that, and it was fantastic. They always make such a good turkey. And then I took the leftovers, and last night I made them into a pot pie, which I know you saw the picture of earlier. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's so good. And I still have half of the filling left, so I can make another one next week. I made
that's
the,
gonna be old.
For those of
oh,
you,
like
no, it's
the
in the
non-turkey
freezer.
Turkey part.
Oh, it's okay. All I gotcha. So I made the mix and it's in the freezer and I can just defrost it and put it in the as filling.
Smart,
but anyway,
smart.
I was on roll duty, but I made, instead of regular rolls, I made the little cheese bread that you get at Brazilian Steakhouse, and it was so good.
Okay.
I recommend it instead of regular rolls all the time. You know, give your meal a Latin twist. From me, Jessica, a Mexican, I endorse this. It's so bueno. Just real bueno.
Very bueno.
Yeah.
Very bueno.
So I made that and it was really good. And then Chris's mom has been here, as I said earlier. So we've been hanging out with her. We went up to Point Reyes, which is this beautiful coastline. We saw like elk and a bunch of stuff. There's this lighthouse that had 300 stairs down to it, which was fine on the way down. Not as much on the way up. It was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still recovering from surgery in terms of my cardio level. But that was good. Today we went to the Academy of Arts and Sciences, which was, it's in Golden Gate Park, and it's this cool, like, museum. They had a planetarium. There's an aquarium. They were doing fake snow, but it was a bubble machine, which was good because we reasoned that the concert I'm producing. So good to know how that looks. And then I played tonight. We lit the tree in the Castro, so I played snare drum, which was more difficult because my snare drum is, the stand is meant for playing drum kit, not standing and playing. So let me tell you how awkward that was to do, but it worked. And yeah, now we're doing the podcast.
What a week.
Truly.
I, you guys did
potlucks or something? I don't know. I saw pictures.
I was sick all week. I had a cold that I got from my nephew. The Thursday before Thanksgiving, I went to my brother's house for dinner, and my nephew was like sitting on my lap. Well, he was kind of coughing the whole evening, but he's like sitting on my lap during dinner. And at one point he just turns up and faces me and just like right into my mouth. And I was like, okay, there's my immune system. Let's see what it can do.
Good
and
luck.
It turns out not much, because I woke up 3 days later with a terrible sore throat. It wasn't COVID. Thank goodness. I could tell it wasn't COVID. Like, it didn't feel like COVID. It felt like a cold, which was bizarre because I don't think I've had a cold in like 3 years. So I was like, how, wow,
yeah, that's
this
how
is,
I felt when I had that sinus familiar. Infection.
Yeah, I was like, this is wild. What a little treat, you know, just a regular cold. But I was super tired and congested and just slept more than I probably wanted to. But my parents were here, so they were very helpful. And then we hosted, I was kind of better on Thanksgiving. So we hosted and cooked everything, and it was a lot of fun. David made the turkey. My mom and I made all the sides.
Sounds
and
like
then for the rolls, we actually did the King's Hawaiian rolls.
That's a classic too.
Delicious.
I can't complain about that.
We made the stuffing out of them too.
Ooh. What do you put in your
that
stuffing?
That was good. Celery, onions, carrots, and then like herbs like thyme, rosemary, sage.
I think my problem with stuffing, because I don't traditionally like it, is that the bread gets mushy. Like if it was, if it had some crunch to it, I think I'd be okay with it. But I don't like that mushy bread mixed in with that.
What if you like made the stuffing and then stirred in, like you set some of the bread aside and then like really toasted the crap out of it, and then you stirred that in at the very end?
That could work. I've also thought like about just making the stuffing and pulling it out and then baking it by itself, to like under a broiler for a little bit to give it some crispness on top. I just usually skip
breadcrumbs on top, and
yeah,
it's good though. I've never made stuffing.
Crushed up Ritz crackers.
And then what else? Oh, I bought my wedding dress.
How much did it cost, Becca? I'd love to know that.
Let me tell this story. So my mom and I had an appointment for Tuesday
night.
I've
heard this story 8 times.
That's not true. We've only talked like once since what? So
8 times.
So we go Tuesday night, we go to this appointment at this little boutique, and I had kind of thought, like, this is going to be expensive. I'm probably just going to end up buying something at David's Bridal, whatever. So we go, I show them some pictures. I thought, like, I want something really simple, very minimal, like A-line, not too poofy. And so I try one on like that. I just did not feel like I was getting married. Like, it just kind of felt like weirdly casual. I was like, I actually don't think I want a simple dress.
As I was thinking that,
I could hear them outside. My mom was asking the girl who was my stylist, like, how often do brides come in and then end up leaving with something completely different from what they thought they wanted? And she's like, literally every, like 99% of the time. Like, no, they come in with pictures and then they try on that dress and it just doesn't look right. And so they end up with something completely different. So then I'm like, you know what? I guess I don't know what I want. Like, just start pulling stuff for me. I kind of knew what shape I wanted, but that was about it. So my mom pulled one that I tried on, and I loved the shape of it, but it was, like, very white, which I didn't think I really wanted. She was like, well, we have the same one.
Well, that would have been a lie anyways, Rebecca.
Exactly. So she's like, we have the same one in champagne, which is, like, kind of pink, beige, like, off-white. It's, like, not quite white. And she was like, and that one on Black Friday is gonna be $100. So it's a $1,300 dress. She's like, on Black Friday it'll be $100, so if you can get here early enough and like camp out, you can get it for $100. And my mom and I were like, we take Black Friday very seriously. We were like telling her, like, we used to go to Kohl's at 2 a.m like this, we will be here 4 o'clock in the morning with our thermoses, like, we're not
whatever
fucking
it
around.
Takes
So I tried it on. It was perfect. It fit me perfectly. Like, it's the sample dress is what they're selling for $100. It's the one they have in the store that everybody
I wondered. I'm like, why is it so cheap? Someone died
it's
in
a
that
sample
dress.
No, it's just a sample dress. And so once they stop stocking that dress, they have to get rid of the sample. So they just sell it for super cheap. But it was beautiful. And, like, I'm, like, ogling it in the mirror. And she comes back and she's like, actually, you can just have it for $100 right now.
Yeah. Nobody fucking cares. Nobody wants to Black Friday anymore.
So I got a $100 wedding dress. And so I had told David, like, I'm just going to get ideas. Like, you know, I'm not gonna get anything. And then I walk in at home, pull the dress bag out of the car.
Wait, did he see it? Are you, like, home. Not letting him see it and stuff like that?
No, it's in a bag. You can't see it.
Right, I just unrelated to it being in
no,
a bag.
No, he's
just,
not okay, seeing it. Okay. It's in my closet in this office.
So what were you prepared to spend? Like, basically, how much did you save on this?
I had in our budget, I had $1,500. I was hoping to come in at, like, $600 because I was looking at some of the, like, David's Bridal, like, clearance David's dresses bridal. And seeing them in at like $500, $600. And then what happened was my mom was like, this is so cheap, I'll just buy it for you. So she bought it. So I spent $0.
You just got so much money back in the bank for wings.
I know. I told her, I was like, I filled it. This is the first thing in our wedding budget that I filled in besides like the bridesmaids' gifts. I was like, and the budget is green so far. Well, it's too bad I've already purchased them.
God damn it. What am I getting? I need to know. I got to get ready. I need to know now. When's the wedding?
No.
2 years? I need to know now.
I'm not. No, it's the gifts that like you
no,
give
no, not
when
the
you
gift.
Ask
I mean, what
people
do I need
to
for a dress?
Be a bridesmaid.
I know what it is. What? Oh. I've been a bridesmaid before. I'm actually very good at it.
I'm going to, once I have asked everyone, I'm going to make like a group chat and tell people. But I'm thinking of using this site for bridesmaid dresses. They're all under $100. And then you can just pick a color and tell everyone, like, get whatever, like, fabric and cut you want, which is probably what I'm going to do. Because I just want people to be comfortable. And I think all of my bridesmaids are going to be very different, like, shapes and sizes. So I don't want to pick a cut that would not work on most people.
I'm basically a dinosaur with these arms.
Got tiny arms.
Yeah. So it's got to be sleeveless or I'll look ridiculous.
Yeah. But anyway... So that's enough wedding talk. Oh, and then I went to David's Bridal and it was horrible.
Oh, just, okay. So that's enough experience. Wedding talk. And then immediately, by the way, here's more wedding talk.
Let me shit on David's Bridal really quick. The stylist, we walked in
and
she was like,
this week.
She was like, let me see some pictures of what you want. So I show her picture and she's like, okay, yeah, we have some like that. And then she just doesn't get them. And she's like, you can pick out dresses and then meet me at the fitting room. And I was kind of like, what is your job? Like, you're the stylist. This is
her
your
job's
whole job.
Dresses.
It's dresses.
I don't want to hear any more about no dresses.
It's a tiny fitting room with no mirrors. So
why would you
like,
need it? You have to walk out there.
Yeah. So for one of them, it was so sheer that you could see my underwear through it. And I didn't know that until I stepped out into the store. And the dresses were not cheap. They were the same price as the small boutique. So just don't go to David's Bridal is the moral of the story.
Okay.
Don't
I
go.
Won't.
Ever.
You've convinced me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want to be a snob, but I found a cheaper dress at a nicer boutique. So
that's really on them for failing you and failing this country.
It's David's Bridal Company. Like, he's really...
You love David's Bridal.
We were telling this story to my family, and David is just sitting there, and he's like, yeah, I mean, the quality's really gone down with the supply chain. Like, I'm very sorry.
I've been trying to run that place better.
These stylists don't want to work, you know. It's tough out there.
David laid off half the staff and then called the other in for sewing reviews. You know, how much sewing have you done in the last 10 weeks?
Show me the sewing you've done. Oh, and the dresses
like,
they were
sold
dirty.
The dress.
Oh. The dresses they had like spray tan on the inside of them. Ew. Like people were just trying them on and
they
getting
must,
their like makeup and shit all over them.
I was going to say they must come in and be like, I know you're going to take pictures. So I've got to, you know, do the whole thing. I appreciate that you didn't care how you looked that day, clearly.
Oh. I curl my hair for the actual appointment at the boutique. I like curled my hair and did my makeup.
I was kidding.
I did my like mom was that. Like, why'd you get all? My mom was like, "Why'd you get all dressed up?" Like, and I'm like, "I want to know how I'm gonna look. Like, I want to. I'm not gonna
go in
with like
her
no makeup
because you always look so good, mom. And I just feel like I can't compete when we're out there in the world.
I can't compete. You're just
yeah,
fantastic.
Mary Lynch, fashion model.
Yeah. Yep.
I did like saying my first response to the picture, because like I can't give a genuine response. I said, I don't think you should wear that bra with it.
Yeah, because I had a bra on.
Sabrina said that when you messaged her, you were like, ignore the bra. And I was like, I did it. I had an impact.
You got into my brain where I was like, people are going to notice the bra.
How do I edit this out? Siri.
Yeah. And then,
Photoshop
like,
bra.
And then 2 hours later, Jess goes, I've decided that it's nice. Like, took you 2 hours to be genuine. You're like, I should probably say something
I had to think about it. I had to sit and really let it, like, be part of my life before I could speak to it.
Yeah. It's so it's different important. From what I thought I wanted. So it took me a minute to come around to it, but now I love
that's
it.
True about David, though, too, right?
Well.
All right, so first post.
All right. I got a couple here.
Becca takes a sip of wine before picking a post.
No, it's because my throat is dry and I'm going to cough otherwise.
Oh, yeah. Nothing gets the mouth nice and warm like wine.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
This says update, but they did not link the original post.
Which one are you clicking? Oh, the first one? No, they're both
update. Updates. Am I the asshole for calling the police on my fiance? Let's see if we can go to this user post, this user's page, and find the original.
I found it. It's from a month ago.
Okay.
They had a follow-up in No Stupid Got Questions it. Called Is it. This a Breakup? We might want to read that, too. Oh, okay. Wow. Look at, okay.
So,
okay.
2 months ago. Am I the asshole for calling the police on my fiancé? Last night, my 35 male fiance, 38 female, left in the evening to give a friend's son a ride back to his home. She implied that... Oh, so this is the man writing about fiance. Okay. She implied she'd be home before 9. She left at around 7:45. 10:15 rolled around and she still wasn't home. I texted and she apologized to me, saying that her friend's son was actually in the next town over, maybe 30 minutes away. She was coming home now. I'm very confused by this situation. Okay.
She's sleeping with the friend's son.
11:45 rolled around. She still hadn't come home. So I called her to no answer, texted her to no response. I was getting very upset. Yeah, I'd be very nervous if this was happening. Like, someone drives to the next town and then they just stop responding.
Mm-hmm.
12:30 rolled around and still no response, no answer to my phone calls. I was extremely angry. Okay, that's interesting. I wouldn't be angry. I'd be very worried. 1:30 rolled around and my anger had completely transformed into worry. Okay, there it is. Took him a little bit to get there. Not answering my calls and texts were not read. Around 1:45, I called the police. I've always heard that the first 24 hours of someone being missing is the most important, so I didn't want to delay. Street I asked smarts. Them to let me know. Huh?
I said street smarts.
Street smarts. I asked them to let me know if there had been any traffic accidents involving her car, and the operator told me they would put out the word, send some cops to check along the route she would travel. I called all the hospitals in the area to check if she had been checked in. I waited outside watching the road for her car for 3 hours, partially because I didn't want the kids to hear me on the phone with hospitals. Oh, they have children. Secondly, because I was sick with worry. Yeah, I'd be freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Jesus. At 7 a.m., she came home. She apologized for being out and said she had no excuse. She was driving home and felt tired, like she was falling asleep at the wheel, so she pulled over to the side of the road to sleep. When she did that, she found that her brand new phone had stopped working. She says she napped anyway because it was the responsible thing to do, and then came home at 7 a.m. to bring the kids to school and get to work on time. I immediately called the police and told them that she had come home safely, gave them the case number and told them to stop searching, which they did. My fiancé brought the kids to school and left for work. I set out to start cleaning. Cleaning de-stresses me sometimes. And I got a call from a policeman asking me where she worked. I told him and asked why. I was informed that it was their policy to check on the person's wellness after a missing person is found. Yeah, that's fair. I asked them to not go to her work, but to give her a call instead. He said he couldn't promise. It's probably just a policy. My fiancé's relatively new to her job. A police officer showed up and asked to speak with her. She's now enraged at me for calling the police and, quote, sending a cop to her work, making her look bad. She is saying I overreacted, that she wasn't missing, and that I was punishing her for doing the responsible thing and not driving while drowsy. She's saying she's never going to leave the house again except for work because she's afraid I'm going to call the cops on her again. Did I overreact? Should I have waited 2 days like she suggests? Should I have waited 2 days?
She's 100% cheating on him is my impression of this.
Oh, yeah. And also she's like, next time I go missing, wait 2 days before.
Yeah. I really want to, like, be good and missing.
He's correct, though. Like, the first couple hours after someone goes missing is the most important. Not the top comment is not the asshole, but you do know she's lying.
That's
right?
What I was just looking at. I was like, she's absolute, like, everything is a red flag
for all
here.
Of those things to happen. And she said she pulled over on her route and slept, but the cops combed her route and didn't see her car. So there you go, right? They had, I'm assuming, like, an APV out for her license plate, like, looking for her car, and did not find her.
Yeah, so she
whole,
wasn't.
I just
she
pulled
wasn't on
over
that
on
route.
The side of the road. No.
See, that's why. Wow. Like, so Chris and I share locations with each other all the time, and, like, you have my location, and Dave and everybody, and people are always like, "Oh, aren't you worried that they're spying on you?" I'm like, one, I'm not doing anything to spy on, but two, it's just so that we can know that the other person is safe. Like, sometimes Chris works late and has clients and stuff at their job, and it's weird because we text regularly to not hear from them, and so it's nice for me to be like, okay, at least they're at work. I know they probably haven't gone anywhere. Or if I don't know, the morning we're supposed to meet up and I haven't heard anything yet, then I'm like, they're probably still asleep. And I've done the same kind of, like, when we have stuff going on, I was like, where's Becca, because we're supposed to be doing a podcast, and I just worried you're not dead.
And I'm
like
out drinking.
Yeah. And then you show up. You got the beer bong on your head. It's ridiculous. But, you know, Michigan won. So,
yeah. What are you going to do?
So, but So I absolutely think they're cheating. There's a post in No Stupid Questions from this poster around the same time. So let me read that.
I didn't know
there
was a subreddit. That's a great subreddit. Wow.
I'm not going to read the comments because there's a spoiler for the update and I want us to read the update. But this post is just titled, "Is this a breakup? If you were in a fight with your significant other and they said the following words, I am no longer doing this. Do us both a favor and lose my number. I'm not fucking speaking to you again. You are officially deleted from my phone. Do those words trigger breakup protocol? Edit, interesting. This topic appears to be more contentious than I expected. I thought it was pretty black and white, but I suppose that's the point of this subreddit. Edit,
but they're engaged.
Edit two, I would ask that we keep this question in a vacuum, isolated from my recent bombastic posting history. Thank you."
They're engaged. Okay, anyway, let's read the update.
Okay, so we've got, oh, they play Overwatch. Maybe,
update.
Maybe he's the problem.
Update. First of all, thank you for those of you who offered kind words and solid advice. This update is likely to disappoint some of you, as it does me. My fiance and I have been fighting solidly since before I posted my last thread. It's been exhausting. I called her out on her obvious lie, and she fumed at how awful I was for calling her a liar. From then on, it was as if she was falling down a smooth well, desperately clawing and grabbing at anything she could to blame me as she went deeper and deeper. Is this guy a writer? Like, wow. I am not a perfect man, but in this particular situation, I was an angel, so she had nothing to grab onto. Yeah, I mean, he did everything right. If I just didn't respond for an entire night after I said I was going to come home, I would hope you'd file, like, a missing person report. Like, if you don't, I'd be like, what, do you just not care?
Yeah, once you're recovered from the secondary location.
Yeah, I did a lot of soul searching, and I made a call that most of you will hate. I decided to bury the hatchet. I love her very dearly. That's your choice. I don't hate that. I have no proof of a lie, and I wasn't too concerned about what she was really up to anyway. Our relationship is open, so even if she fucked around, I didn't care much. Now, my understanding with a lot of open relationships is that there's still some sort of, like, policy about honesty.
You have to
be
extremely communicative about it, right? Unless the policy between the two of you is, I don't want to know what you're doing, which I think from, like, a sexual transmitted disease kind of perspective is probably not a great idea. But, like, if I would expect the need, and everything I've heard from people who are really in that lifestyle, or their relationships work that way, is that communication is key. Like, you can't lie and
it's
hide
the most
things
important
or
part.
That's another red flag. If she did screw around on him, it's still why wouldn't you just say that, like, oh, hey, you know, I'm gonna be out with somebody tonight.
If it's open, why would you lie? She still fought with me, though. The fight continued to the point where she, quote, broke up with me, but not really, which is a common tactic she has used before. Called her on it, and she fought with me still. I asked for space for a night so I could sleep off the exhaustion, and she got upset and told me I was neglectful and selfish for not going to her and making up in person. Do they not live together?
They have kids. I don't know.
They have kids and they're engaged. Okay, he says,
I mean, you
could
be
stupid.
Engaged without living together, but to have kids and be sure. engaged and not be living together, is that seems like an odd combination.
Maybe he has... They're older. Maybe he has kids from a previous marriage. Mm-hmm. I'm stupid. I'm aware of it. Even through all of this, I was apparently able to believe that what she said in emotion wasn't really her talking. Today, I was having lunch. Money has been tight lately for some reason. Weird. We don't know the reason.
Weird, right? Like he's winking yeah, he's while he's like, saying it. We're like, we don't know. The story goes, bud.
We don't know anything about your finances. So I flipped through my wallet to find my credit card, which was missing. Well, you see where this goes. She had stolen it. She cited our desire to join lives together and merge finances, and that when I lent her my wallet once, she took it so she wouldn't have to bother me by asking again. What?
That's interesting.
This credit card is mine under my name and for emergencies only. She was using it for the last month and a half. While she has been decent enough to pay back some of it, there was still a $1,500 balance on it that hasn't been paid. She says it's here just as much. It's hers just as much mine and resents me calling her a thief. That's if you had that discussion. She just took it. A lot of the uses were spent at ATMs for cash withdrawals and some interesting ones at the casino. So she wasn't cheating. She was gambling. Those of you who guessed gambling were probably right on the money.
I did not think that. It seems so much more like cheating. Yeah, well, that's true. We didn't know that part before. We didn't read any comments.
Yeah. Okay. Those of you who guessed gambling were probably right on the money. At that point, I admit I lost it. I'm a very calm person. There was only so much denial of reality that I could take. It's still blurry, but I said a lot of horrible things to her. And I'm in the process of evicting her from my life. I am canceling everything that is in my name that she's a part of, including the new phone line, canceling her car insurance, and reclaiming my car that I gave her and that she has trashed. Apparently, I can handle lies, cheating, and secrets, but who knew that theft was my line? Learning experience. Now, thinking back, I can identify lots of sketchy shit that my love goggles blinded me to, but there's a pretty strict character limit. Wow.
I'm reading back just to see if there's anything weird from this. Apparently, they are in Vancouver.
Okay.
In the swingers group. So that's in line with what we know. 5.7 years ago, he posted, wife has major headaches. So that must be the kids, right?
An old
wife.
Yeah.
I guess we're not answering the question of, am I the asshole?
No. From the original post for calling the police? No. Definitely not. That is what any loving partner would do if you just stopped answering texts and calls and said you were going to be home and didn't show up. Right?
Agreed. Sorry, I was just reading through to see if there were any other interesting bits. You're not the asshole there. The lies are weird. Like maybe she's got a gambling addiction and needs a wake up call, but I don't know. Like it sounds like this has been ongoing. Maybe it's been lots of gambling.
A lot of people are pointing out that you need a police report and then you can tell your credit card company and they will take that balance off for you. If you have a police report and people are like,
took the card without, and then they'll block her from the casino, I would think, because they'll charge the casino back.
But also the casino will have cameras at the ATMs. Mm-hmm. So they will have video of her using it at the ATM and then you can just go to your credit card company and be like, she stole it. Like, I'm not paying for this.
Wow.
What
a tale. That's a classic post for us, I feel like.
Yeah. Wow. That was a long-winded
one. I know. I feel like we talked so much at the beginning. We'll probably take our break now and then come back and do some more. But wow. Not the asshole.
Not the asshole. I feel bad for this guy. That sucks. Really.
And
sucks.
Speaking of assholes, this week our sponsor is David's Bridal. David's Bridal, where the dresses are filled with vomit.
And spray tan.
And spray tan. Okay, we'll take a break and we'll come back.
Are we back?
Yeah. So here's what happened today is we went to that CalArts place I mentioned earlier. And while I'm there, my watch starts vibrating so much that I thought my wrist was going to melt. Turns out our good friend Kyle Lady, your boss and mine, dropped this into the group chat. Apparently there's discourse on Twitter about a puke bowl again. Which to me implied that this discourse happened before, which I missed apparently. But it,
I really thought he was talking about a college football bowl, like a bowl, because the there's like bowl. The Orange Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl. I thought people were talking
this
about
this year. Ohio State's going to the Puke Bowl. That's for all you Michigan fans out there.
I opened back up that group chat to find these texts, and then I just saw the tweet you sent that just says, "I would have jacked off while the Titanic was sinking. I can tell you that much."
And Alex replied, amen.
Amen.
Okay. So,
all right.
Tell us about these messages.
Yeah. So basically, Kyle is like, apparently, some people grew up with their family used a popcorn bowl for when you were puking. And yeah. Kyle says, apparently there's discourse about it being used for popcorn. So Jess jumps in and was like, we had a puke bowl. It was also a popcorn bowl.
Not at the same time. You washed the bowl.
Yeah, and I was like, we did the same thing. We had a big plastic bowl, Tupperware bowl, that was probably brightly colored. And that was the puke bowl. That was also the large multi-purpose bowl.
Yeah, so we did popcorn in there. If we were baking, like if you were, we never baked from scratch. So it was always like a box of stuff.
And you need a salad bowl.
That's a normal size salad bowl for me. Whatever bowl you're puking into, that is the size of my regular salads.
Yeah, so Jess and I were both like, yeah, it's a puke bowl. It's a popcorn bowl. You puke in it. And Alex could not fathom this. He's like, that is disgusting to me. We use the toilet. Or a trash can.
Yeah, why wouldn't you and just I put a like, trash can? He kept getting stuck on that.
I was like, so he was just like, put a trash can next to the bed. And I was over here like, maybe, but the tiny trash cans can sometimes be very tiny. And so if you're going to hit that, like sometimes you don't know that you're going to puke until it's like right before it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So you might not have time to get all the way down to that little trash can. Or then you got to like pick a trash can up. That sounds annoying. So I was like, no, you just have the bowl and then you can have it with you in the bed or you can have it on the ground next to the bed. But it's like, you pick that up. That's easy, you know? And Alex was so just like, use a trash can. Why? He's like, what the actual fuck? Why would you use a bowl that you're going to eat out of? And I was like, you wash it?
You just wash it.
You wash it. And then Kyle says... Kyle shares a tweet that says, you people told us you don't wash your legs and we're supposed to believe you're washing your puke bowl properly.
Please.
And Alex goes, what the actual fuck? I don't wash my legs.
Which I don't think is true. I feel like that's not a real thing that he meant.
I don't know.
But here's the big question for our listeners, though. Does Alex wash his butt crack?
No. Probably not. So then it turns into the conversation of, why don't you just sleep next to the toilet? So Alex says, in reality, what he does when he has a night where he's up puking, or a day where he's just be puking. We've all had those days.
Mm-hmm. People do be puking.
That he simply spends the whole day/night in the bathroom next to the toilet. And I was like, that's disgusting. If I have a big popcorn bowl, I can just have that with me in bed and just go to sleep in between pukes. And he's like, what if it spills? And
Becca sent a picture of David doing that very thing.
When he had food poisoning / alcohol poisoning, he had both at the same time. It was a disaster. He threw up for 15 hours straight. We had to go to the hospital. It was a very fun time. And yeah, it's a picture of him in bed holding his bowl and he's passed out. And Alex is like, what if it splashes out of the bowl while you're sleeping? And I was like, then you wash your sheets, dude. Like, it's, but I would much rather risk getting puke in my bed than sleeping in the bathroom on the floor.
Yeah, like, that's so uncomfortable. And what if someone needs to use the bathroom? I want to be comfortable. You, like, do have that carpeted bathroom. That might be okay, actually.
Ew. I'm like, I optimize for comfort at all times. I would much rather be comfortable in the moment and have to deal with cleaning up a mess later than lay on the floor of the bathroom. Like, no, absolutely not. And so then I explained to him, because he's like, when we were kids, we just slept on the floor of the bathroom when we were sick.
Yeah, but his parents don't love him. Like, he always forgets that.
I was like, okay, but you know that the side, like, the bathroom floor, and I mean the whole bathroom, the walls, everything, is covered in poop. Like, every time you flush a poop, the poop sprays up and gets everywhere. Like, you can't see it, it's microscopic poop, but it is everywhere. And he's like, that doesn't seem true. It's like, it's absolutely true. I share a very scientific article about the poop flume. And
poop flume,
he's like, well, you can poop just,
flume is the name, like, of so, my indie band.
So he's saying you can, you're gonna wash a puke bowl, but you don't know how to wash a toilet. And I was like, do you wash your whole bathroom after every poop? Like, probably not. So we had that discussion, and then
actually
he got,
I never wash my bathroom.
Right. And so then he pivots the whole conversation and says, he says, all right, so what happens when you get sick in the car and you can't pull over? Which is just a different topic, but all right. And I said, I have WeatherTech floor mats, so I would simply throw them onto the floor of my car. And he was so confused by that. And he says, you wouldn't throw up in a bag that you've stored in your glove compartment? Like, he has a puke bag in his car, like he's an airplane, and he just has one of these little paper bags in his car. And David was like, why is he puking in his car that often?
Yeah, all the time. Every time we go to a hockey game, he pukes. I don't know if it's excitement or what, if he's just eating too much pizza, but...
I was like, I think I've thrown up in the car when I've been driving maybe twice. And
I've
both
never
times
done
I've
it
simply
while I've been driving.
Pulled over and opened the door and thrown up onto the ground. And so... Anyway, so then he says, what do you do if you feel like you're going to throw up at work? I was like, I would go to the bathroom. He's like, why don't you just do that all the time then? So that was the puke conversation.
And I'm at the museum and my watch is going, and I'm like, I had to silence the conversation.
And it's
I came
all of
back
us
to
just
150
screaming
messages.
About yeah. The popcorn bowl.
And then Kyle's like, I don't regret bringing this to the group at all. And I feel like he should. He derailed the entire day.
And so then everyone learned that we have a rule where we do not poop in the bathroom that is attached to our bedroom, because that's where we shower and it's also attached to the bedroom. And I don't want the bedroom to ever smell like poop.
That so, I always poop in that one when I'm at your house.
In the one that's in our bedroom?
In your room, yeah. Not in the
that's
toilet.
That's interesting. And Alex couldn't understand that either. And I was like, well, because we shower in there. And I don't want to think, like, it's such a small bathroom. I don't want to think about the poop in there.
Mm-hmm.
And also that it's attached to our bedroom.
And you have the ship box, which is actually really nice.
That's why we need at least two bathrooms wherever we go. Got to have one bathroom that's designated for poops.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this was a conversation today.
Yeah, let us know on Twitter.
Very upset about the fact that I prefer to throw up in a bowl while laying in bed and then wash said bowl and then serve food out of it.
To me, I always saw it as like, you're not like, I didn't grow up with a bathroom in my room. The bathroom was downstairs.
No.
So if I was gonna throw up, like, I don't want to puke so down work. The stairs. I'd puke in the bowl. Yeah. And I'm sure that's what my parents wanted, is just puke right here. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we had one bathroom, like one main bathroom that we all shared upstairs. Same. Where the bedrooms were. And so if I was going to spend the whole night in there, and then that would mean nobody could shower or get ready for bed or brush their teeth or anything. I'm just locked in there. Like, nope, it's puking time.
It's a puke box.
Get out of here. This is the puke box. Because
I can't get the bowls dirty.
So my what are we going to do, wash them?
My favorite time I ever threw up was the first time I got drunk. Like, I had never really been drunk before. And I was, I don't know, I was 22, 23. And I was living in this apartment. It was a house that had been carved in apartments, classic Ypsilanti Ann Arbor style home. And I had my own bathroom. And so I was laying in bed. I was like, I think I'm going to throw up. And I was like, fun. Okay, here's what
you
I'll
got
do.
The spins.
Yeah, the room was going, and I was like, this yeah. is weird. And what I drank was, like, green apple schnapps. So it wasn't real ya. Drunk, but, like, it didn't taste like alcohol. So I was like, ah, drinking's easy. I didn't really drink. So I do that, and I'm like, I'll get in the shower. Because my brain was like, you're going to throw up. You need to wash your hair anyways. And it was short then. I had gel in it, so I wanted to wash it out. And I was like, I'll just get in the shower. So I just threw up in the shower. It was all liquid. Went right down the drain. And then afterwards, I felt so clean and relaxed. I went right to bed. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way to do it.
And that's why I think vomiting doesn't really bother me, is because that was such a positive experience. So I was like, once this is out, I'm going to feel fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the classic boot and rally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You drink too much, but you got to get it out the night of.
Oh, yeah, you can't let that
if
linger.
If you're throwing up the next morning, you're going to feel awful.
Yeah, no, I didn't throw up the next day. I messaged a friend. I was like, hey, I just got super drunk for the first time. I'm terribly hungover. What do I do? And he said, you go get french fries and a burger and you heal your insides.
Hash browns.
Yeah,
hash browns,
something
and bacon.
Fried and greasy.
Grease that up. Yeah.
Now, the counterpoint, after I came out of surgery 2 months ago, a sip of water made me throw up because of the anesthesia was not getting out of my system.
Yeah.
And they were pumping me full of water. So I wasn't really thirsty, but they were like, you got to drink some water. So I was peeing a lot and I kept throwing up every time I tried to drink some water, and I couldn't clean my mouth out because then, like, I would just throw up again. It's terrible.
Oof.
The first thing I was able to eat was toast with peanut butter and jelly, just a real light amount of peanut butter and jelly, and it was so good. There's never been
better
toast.
Is that why they say, like, you shouldn't eat before surgery? Because people have, like, reactions like that to anesthesia.
I don't know. I would have thought that having food in you would help make it less of a problem, but I don't
know. Usually not allowed to eat before surgery.
No, I know. I couldn't. I couldn't eat. The surgery was at like 7 or 8 in the morning, and I couldn't eat past midnight. I couldn't have any water past midnight, which is harder for me because I drink so much water. But
yeah.
Okay, let me send you the post I'm going to read here.
All right, I'm excited. Now that we talked about that bodily fluid conversation.
Whatever. Everybody pukes. Some of us are just better at it.
Everybody pukes. You always feel so much better after.
The times that you don't feel better after is when it's not, when I don't care for it. Because I'm like, I already did puke. Like, what else can I
do?
Or
they're like 20 minutes apart. And so you get like 5 minutes where you feel kind of okay. And then it starts to come back around.
Your mouth starts salivating. You're like, oh, it's coming.
It's coming.
Oh, Lord.
Yep.
It coming.
Oh, Lord, it coming. All right, okay. I'm ready for this. Oh, it's a Thanksgiving one.
Thanksgiving seasonal.
Woo.
So Chris Sant, the gentleman who writes our ads on the Star Trek podcast, sent me this one a couple days ago. So I've actually read it, but I thought it was appropriate.
All right.
Am I the asshole for sitting on my husband's lap during Thanksgiving dinner because all chairs at the table were taken? I, female 28, have been with my husband, quote, Sean, male 33, for 2 years. Married for 5 months. Most of his family are decent people, but his mom can be a little passive aggressive and tends to criticize me a lot. Sean sees it as, quote, her still not getting used to me being around, end quote. But I don't know, because she treats his ex, Julissa. It's not a real name, it's in quotes. Treats his ex well. Mother-in-law says that Julissa has been around the family for ages and her past with Sean never affected her relationship with her. Fine, I never minded her attending every holiday and being around till yesterday. We had Thanksgiving dinner at my mother-in-law's house. Sean went there before me, and when I arrived, it was already dinner time. Everyone was seated, and I saw that all of the chairs were taken. I asked my mother-in-law why she didn't save me a seat, and she said, sorry, and that one of her granddaughters decided to show up last minute and the chair was taken. I looked at her, then at Julissa, who was sitting next to Sean.
Wait, pause. So Sean is her husband.
Sean is her husband. He got there earlier.
His ex
comes to everything still.
Do they have kids together? Like, why?
Well, it's talked about a little bit in the story, so.
All right.
So I looked at her, then I looked at Julissa, who was sitting next to Sean, the husband, and tried to point out how I was more deserving of the chair since I'm the daughter-in-law. I know, and I shouldn't have said it. I know. Mother-in-law flat out said that Julissa is as much family as me and that it was rude to imply otherwise. Julissa was nodding confidently while glancing at me.
Holy shit. I was so
upset that I wanted to leave, but decided to just sit on my husband's lap and act as casual as possible. I sat in his lap asking if he was okay with it. Don't worry, I'm petite and he's strong built. I don't like that. And started eating so casually while smiling and complimenting the food and mentioning to Sean how warm and comfortable his lap was now and then. The table went awkwardly silent. Brother-in-law would try to break the silence and change the subject, but it somehow went back to being awkward. Mother-in-law and Julissa were barely eating and were staring at each other, then at me, eyes wide open. That's the appropriate way to stare. You can't stare if your eyes are closed.
Eyes wide shut.
Yeah, well, that's not staring.
Minutes later,
Julissa excused herself to the bathroom, and so did mother-in-law. It was still awkward, but I did my best to focus on dinner.
They're gonna go have sex in the bathroom.
Right? Oh, I'm just so happy it's working out. Sean was eating as well. Later, there was just so much tension, and mother-in-law was barely able to speak after Julissa left. Early, like right after dinner. Sean and I went home, and mother-in-law tried calling, but then called Sean and texted me saying what I did was inappropriate and that I ruined Thanksgiving dinner and made it awkward. She said it wasn't her fault chairs were taken and I could have dragged a chair from the kitchen, but acted childishly and made Julissa and family uncomfortable.
Oh, there were other chairs available.
No. I should mention that even if I took a chair from the kitchen, there was not enough space at the dinner table to fit the chair. Everyone was sitting next to each other.
Okay.
So Chris sent me this a couple days ago, and my problem is I don't think she's the asshole. I think the mother-in-law and this Julissa are an asshole.
Yes.
But the bigger issue is the husband. Why did the husband allow this to happen? Like, you could be save.
Yeah. Hmm. Why didn't he save her seat? And why didn't he say, oh, you can have my seat?
Exactly. Right? Like, figure something, make it not this awkward situation, unless maybe he hates his mom. So there is one comment from the post that says they were friends and both families were close to each other, and then they started dating and broke up but still maintain a decent relationship. However,
so
mother-in-law is somehow acting like they're still together, but she denied all that, saying she just treats her as a daughter, and also told me I had zero say in how she treats others, which is fine by me, really, but when I'm being treated as less than, I find issues with that. On another note, my husband says he can't figure out this problem between me and his mom. He thinks we're both wrong.
Oh,
I think the husband's an asshole.
The husband's the asshole.
I mean, so is the mother-in-law. But that,
so
that's
is the
mother-in-law's,
mom.
You know, that's just their whole thing.
If
television has led me.
Why doesn't Julissa have her own family? Why is she at her ex-boyfriend's?
That's another question, right? Is like, what?
Like, you're in your 30s.
What are you doing?
Why are you at your ex-boyfriend's house for Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Go to a bar. Like,
yeah,
an adult.
Go be sad with people like you. No, don't do that. But I mean, it seems weird.
It's
it
so
seems weird to prioritize that. Or even maybe have some self-awareness and be like, oh, of course you can sit here. You know, like next to your husband who apparently is a friend or something like that.
Why didn't the husband save the seat next to him? Why did he let
he should have done something.
Julissa sit there. He should have been like, no, that seat's saved for my wife. Like,
my wife.
I think there's something going on between them.
I don't know if anything's going on, but it's weird.
It's
like
super
weird. So the new wife who is the poster.
My poster. My wife.
They've been together for 2 years and married for 5 months. So like new relationship.
Yeah.
It's
a quick engagement.
What? Don't worry about it. Let people do what they're going to do. This is a pandemic. You know how that goes. You move in with somebody and you basically just marry them.
Well.
I sent, so Chris sent it to me and I read it and I told him, I hate to say it, but this sounds like one of our classic Are the Straight People Okay posts. And it basically it is. The mother-in-law, obviously is wrong and an asshole. Jalissa is weird. I don't know if she's an asshole, but I don't like her situation here. The poster, I think, is not an asshole.
No, but if it were me in this situation, I would be the most mad at my husband. I would be the most pissed at him. I would not sit on his lap. I would be like, no, I'm going to sit next to you. Figure it out. Right? Or later that night, you're not like, ah, can you believe your mom did that? I'd be like, why didn't you save me the seat next to you? That's so weird.
Or just give me the one you were seat. On. Yeah, right? Something.
It's so bizarre to make her that uncomfortable in a situation that she already doesn't like, where she's with his ex-girlfriend at Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And to have the mother-in-law in front of everyone be like, she's just as much family as you are. Be like, she doesn't have a ring, motherfucker.
It's just so weird. But here's the thing. I could see your mom doing that to you. Like, if I was at Thanksgiving and you showed up late and I'm sitting there next to David. Yeah. She'd be like, well, Jessica's as much a part of this family as you are.
Just as much my daughter as you are.
Sorry, but it's true. So, yeah, I liked that post. I thought it was appropriate. But the husband just strikes me as such a jerk. I wish there was an update on this.
Yeah. Are there any other comments from this user?
No, just the one that I, sad. With the context about how they knew each other.
Sad.
Really sad. People need to give us more content here.
Yeah. Well, another great day of, reading about people's problems.
It's true. Do you want to do the last one you pulled?
I suppose we could. Oh, God, it's 10 o'clock.
Okay, so it's only 8:42 here.
Okay. Look, you want to play games.
Well, I don't care if we play games. If we don't play games, I'm just going to edit this.
I want to play games.
What do you want to play?
Overcooked.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe I'll stream it. We haven't streamed Strum in a while.
Strummed.
I don't know who to watch at this hour.
We'll save
this is
we'll
an update to a two-year-old post.
Yeah, we'll save it for next week. It's not going anywhere.
Okay.
Well, we're going to hang on in this one.
All right.
We're going to go play some Overcooked.
Overcooked. Yes. Overcooked. Somehow Becca and I, this is a game where I feel like most people end up yelling at the people they're playing with. But Becca and I, we get along really well. And I think we do a great job.
We do really well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we have both worked in restaurants. And so we use behind herd dropping noodles. Noodles heard.
Noodles down.
I need potatoes.
Noodles are up. Yeah, it's funny to do it that way. I've played it with other people, and I feel bad because I inevitably end up taking the role of, I'm going to direct the traffic for this. Someone needs to manage this. With you, I don't have to because we're on top of it in whatever we can be. But with other people, I'm like, I'm sorry I'm being an asshole, but all of you are bad at cooking.
Your whole side of the kitchen is on fire.
Yeah, and you're just standing there holding a pot that is already ruined. What's the point?
Throw it away. You're trying to put the pot on the conveyor belt. You got to put it on a plate.
Needs plate.
Plate, heard. Washing dishes.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see you next week, huh?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Are we going to try to be more regular with this? What's the plan?
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll find a night that seems to work.
Great. Love that for us.
Cool.
Okay. Well, keep watching Star Trek. We'll keep making this podcast to talk about Star Trek specifically. That's the one you've just listened to. All of this was Star Trek related. Wait, did you read that Am I the Asshole? Am I Being Illogical post that I sent you the other day?
Oh, I don't think I did.
Oh, it's about the original series episode we watched.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Here, I'll read that one really quick because it's a quick read.
All right.
Where'd it go? How did your friends that you were out with the other night receive the questions list?
They loved them.
Excellent.
They're very chaotic. So
really is not loading the last thing. Okay. There's a back. Are they chaotic? Like messy chaos or good chaos?
Good chaos.
All right. One last post here.
Oh,
from...
wait. No, wait. I got to tell this joke because you'll love it.
Okay,
because you'll understand my friends, why they're my friends. So we're talking about, somehow astrology came up last night, and this one guy goes, I'm a Virgo. He goes, I was born on September 12th, and we were all like, oof. And he's like, yeah, it sucks, because I don't get presents, like, on September 11th and on my birthday. People just, like, lump them together, you know?
That is a good joke. I really like that one.
It's so good.
Oh, wow. I'm feeling good now. All right.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
Okay.
Read this post.
Okay. Our last post for them. This is from Am I Being Illogical? Am I being illogical for choosing my husband's human boss as my champion? My 29 female husband, 29 male, is from a well-known and eccentric family and has only made himself more notorious with an unconventional career and an unnecessarily emotional falling out with his father. The aforementioned unconventional career keeps him away from Vulcan. In his absence, I have found a mate that I prefer. At Kun At Kalifi, I had planned to choose Kalifi and make my preferred mate my champion. However, my husband unexpectedly arrived with humans, one of whom is his superior, apparently a friend, and appears physically fit. Setting aside the impropriety, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why my brain was like, that's not a real word. Setting aside the impropriety of bringing outsiders to Kun At Kalifi, this human seemed more interested in my husband's family connections than any prurient interest in the Ponfar itself. I realized that I could choose him as my champion instead, and not risk my preferred mate's life. If the human champion wins, he will be very unlikely to wish for a Vulcan bride, and would release me. If my husband wins, he may also release me for challenging, and even if he does not, he will still be absent as before, and I will have my chosen mate at my side. Update, please excuse the abrupt cutoff. My ex-husband just killed his human superior and has indeed released me in return to his post, I believe to seek formal disciplinary action. One response. Not being illogical. Your logic is sound. You, however, are the asshole. Chris sent that to me, my partner Chris, last week, and I was like, this is amazing. This is like the crossover episode we needed between the podcasts.
It's so good. It ties them together.
Yeah. Now you can go to the next one.
Perfect.
I like it. Okay, now we'll go for real.
Okay, bye.
Bye.